All financial advice provided on this show is for entertainment and educational purposes only. The financial ideas and strategies discussed are only provided as a starting point for a conversation about money matters. With regard to your particular investments and financial strategies, consult your financial planner, CPA, or investment professional. All your financial decisions are yours and yours alone to make and subsequently are solely your responsibility. The information that is supplied through the context of the radio program and any repurposing of its content by the host or network is a combination and collection of solid financial investment understanding, opinion, and comments. This network, show, and its host are not liable for financial strategies, outcomes that you employ in any manner that result in any kind of loss. Shares of corporate sponsors may be the subject of buy or sell recommendations in Jay Taylor's newsletter in accordance with Jay's objective opinion.
Welcome to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with your host, Jay Taylor. This hour will help investors fix issues and achieve personal gain. Now, here's your host, Jay Taylor.
Welcome to Turning Hard Times into Good Times. I am your host, Jay Taylor, and I'm speaking to you from New York City on this, the 11th day of July, 2017. I do want to remind you that I'm the author of a newsletter called Jay Taylor's Gold, Energy, and Tech Stocks. You can subscribe to that by going to miningstocks.com. And my friend and colleague Chen Lin's letter, What is Chen Buying, What is Chen Selling? You can subscribe to that by going to chenpicks.com, chenpicks.com. Also want to thank each of you for listening to this show, making it one of the more popular shows in the Voice America Business Channel. And I want to invite you to keep your questions, comments, criticisms, and praises coming along to questionsfortaylor@gmail.com, questions4taylor@gmail.com. We do want to thank our sponsors for making this show economically viable. Our sponsors for today's show, New Range Gold Corp., Klondike Gold, RN Resources, Novo Resources, Genesis Metals Corp., GMV Minerals, Osprey Gold Development, and Fireweed Zinc. I've titled today's show, Deciphering the Fed for Financial Survival. Chris Hamilton visits for the first time. Michael Oliver, good old reliable Michael, is with us. He'll be speaking to you in just a moment. And Peter Talman will return at about a quarter past the hour. Michael has assured us that we are in the early stages of a bull market in commodities with gold in the lead and a bear market in the dollar, the T-bonds, the equity markets perched on the precipice. I think I'm probably typifying what his view on that, and we'll ask him just in a second. But over the last couple of weeks, gold has been fairly weak, and most technical analysts who base their forecasts on price charts rather than momentum, as Michael does, are suggesting that, woe is me, we better get the heck out of here. In light of gold's recent weakness, in just a few seconds, well, we're going to hear what Michael has to say. And regardless of the price of gold, I agree with John Kaiser, who's on this show once in a while. He suggests that we are on the verge of a discovery-driven market, at least in the exploration and lower cap gold mining and mineral mining companies. And he believes that we are on the verge of some magnificent world-class discoveries. And I am most proud to have two very out-of-the-box thinking companies as sponsors to this show. And one of those two are going to be with me. I'm talking about Peter Talman. He's going to be with me. He's the CEO of Klondike Gold. And also, of course, there's Quentin Henning, Novo Resources, which I talk about often on this show. Those are my number one and number two picks personally. They're two of the stocks that I talk about most often. RN Resources is another one I like. There's lots of them. I think this is a most exciting time for the exploration stocks. And as I was just telling Michael a minute or so ago, as a person who follows exploration stories, they take a long time to unfold. All I really want to know is that we're not in a bear market. Are we in a bear market? Then I better lighten up big time with my exploration stocks. But if we're in a bull market, well, then this is really a great time. And we're in an early stages of bull market where most of the people aren't even aware that we're in a bull market, a stealth bull market, if you will, in gold. And that's even the best of times because these things aren't overpriced yet, these exploration stocks, for the most part. So in any event, we're going to be talking to Chris Hamilton then at half past the hour, and he has some really interesting ideas about what's happening in the markets and with interest rates, and he ties a lot of his views to population growth and decline. In fact, he'll show us that maybe one of the things the Fed isn't paying any attention to is a declining population. In fact, Chris will tell us, I believe, that we are headed towards a depopulation in the world. Not even though India and Africa are expanding, overall, the global population is in decline, or will soon be in decline, according to what Chris has to say, and that has a very profound impact on the economies of the world. Chris has some very interesting things, and interestingly enough, I think they jive very well with Michael Oliver's view. So Michael is with us now. Thanks for joining me again, Michael.
Good to be back, Jay.
Always good to talk to you. Always assuring to talk to you. You calm my nerves in many ways, Michael. And, you know, as I was saying, I just want to know that we're not in a bear market. I mean, I'm happy to know when prices are going up. My gold shares go up very nicely, usually are correlated very closely to the price of gold. Exploration stocks, not so much, because the value there is when new amounts of gold or silver or copper, or whatever, are being found and economically viable, proven to be so. But we have had a bit of nervousness here in the gold market. I see just before showtime, 1215 gold. It's up a little bit from earlier today. What is your take on gold right now?
Well, when we look at gold, yes, we look at price charts. Everybody does that, you know, and you take your ruler out with your crayon and draw your lines and so forth, and it's what everybody sees, and sometimes it's right and sometimes it's not. What we do is we detrend price against a mean. We measure price action in relation to various means, long-term means, short-term means, and so forth. Well, obviously, when you have short-term trends, they come and go, you know, maybe every couple of months, you know, uptrend, downtrend, uptrend, measured by looking at daily action and so forth. But if you're looking at the big picture, the first thing to look at is annual momentum. And it's quite often the case when annual momentum trends change measurably, when you can look at an oscillator of annual momentum of the S&P or gold or whatever, or oil, and you see a massive structure, like you would on a price chart, like a big trend mm-hmm. line or a big flat floor or something like that. Mm-hmm. But you don't see it on the price, you see it on momentum. When that breaks through, quite often there's an initial new trend move. It could be a collapse in case of a new bear market or a sharp up in case of a new bull market. But almost always, there is a return trip by the price action back toward either the prior low or the prior high in the case of a topping action that confuses the people looking at the price charts. If you remember, gold in 2011, it peaked above 1900 briefly. But once we opened 2012, annual momentum of gold collapsed through structures. There was we were opened in the mid-1600s, I think, at that point. We dropped $120 or something of that sort and turned around and rallied all the way back to 1780. Mm. Not back to the highs, but one heck of a rally, a $200-plus rally that made you feel like, oh, the bull market's still underway at just a correction. But annual momentum was broken, totally destroyed, like a bridge on the River Kwai. It was in shambles. So when you looked at the momentum chart, you looked at price chart, you saw two different realities. Well, it took an entire year and a quarter after that initial breakage of annual momentum in January of 2012 before you started to get the real collapse in gold, which started in April 2013. And again, then you were in the 1600s, and all of a sudden, 3 months later, you were under 1200. Okay, so it held it back. It fought. It tried to act like, oh, I'm still a bull. And there were big debates all during that $100 swings up and down. But momentum said, no, you're dead. It was just a matter of when would they give it up. Well, reverse that now.
Yeah.
In February of last year, gold broke out over massive annual momentum structures that said, okay, I've now turned up. And everything since then, though some sharp declines and measured by shorter-term metrics look negative, maybe, you know, for several weeks or a few months even, but that annual momentum never has changed, and therefore I've not even been forced into a neutral posture. And my neutral number for this sell-off is if you trade 1197. Our low is 1204. Right now we're above 1216. So if they don't hit 1197, I don't even go to neutral. And I can't go bearish because annual momentum simply isn't structured to go bearish. Therefore, my confidence level is still high that this is major above the low congestion. The low was under 1050, if you recall, late 2015. So we're in the 1200s, and we're coiling and twisting. Now, if you get back up to about 1260, which is short of the recent highs, there's two highs up there, 1290 plus, If you get a monthly close back over 1260, and you get the GDX, which is now 2170, to close any week out at 2270 or higher, 1 point above where you are now, as far as I'm concerned, this congestive process is over. We're going to resume with vigor upside. That's where I stand on the gold market. And when I look at other markets like the dollar or the euro, inverse of that, euro's making new highs for the year today. It's also at price levels that if you close a week here or close a month where it is right now above 115, it's a new high weekly close for the last 2.5 years or a new high monthly close for the last 2.5 years. So the dollar is weakening, the euro is strengthening. I think the yen is also about to strengthen. So anyway, we have a shift in the Forex markets that a lot of people are still debating about. I'm not. I'm pretty convinced it's done. It's shifted. And then in the other commodity markets, we've been focused primarily this year not on gold but on grains. And grains are, we've called a grain explosion. Well, they have exploded in the last several weeks. Corn led the way, rice, oats, soybeans were the laggard, but they're well above breakout numbers now. So the food markets, which were not part of the commodity upside last year, are suddenly now the leaders in the commodity sector in terms of percent gain. And we think they'll remain that way probably this year, with some good double-digit percent possibilities on the upside. So we see the shift, and it's confusing when you look at price charts, but we don't emphasize that.
All right. Well, I mean, you weren't faked out by that rally in gold in 2012, I guess it was, back to 1780.
Back to 1780, no. No, I mean, it's intimidating looking, but momentum says nope.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is the issue, and I've been watching your work here now for several years, and I see it time and time again where momentum holds or you're, you know, basing your decisions on your momentum work, and it's just proven to me to be very, very valuable. And just with a minute left then, Michael, so you think the T-bond, maybe just a quick comment on the T-bond.
Well, actually what I'm enjoying more right now is the other part of the debt markets, the high yield market. There's ETFs, HYG and JUNK, JMK, that are U.S. corporate. They're on the verge of major downside breakage on their quarterly momentum. And also the REITs. There's a couple of REIT real estate investment trust ETFs that are on the verge, and these are both interest-sensitive asset areas.
Right.
And the interesting thing is that when they break major structures, stocks usually follow.
Yeah.
And so I'm keen to watch what HYG does this month and what RWR, which is a REIT ETF, does this month, because already RWR is below levels it can't close the month at, as far as I'm concerned. HYG, the high-yield corporate ETF, is still slightly above breakage levels, but they're very close. And I'm convinced if they break, the stock market's going to catch cold following that, you know, be dragged down in the wake of that. And it's all part of, you know, what T-bonds started last year on the downside in terms of the price, which is a bear trend as far as I'm concerned.
Right. Right. So you're convinced that we're in a new bear market for the T-bonds, I guess a long-term bear market probably. And you've always been saying that probably the equity market will go once, you know, once interest rates really start to rise and people are convinced that they're rising not for good reasons, but for reasons.
For other reasons, yes.
Other reasons. Namely, we're going to be talking to Chris Hamilton later today, and we're finding out that the sources of funding of U.S. Treasuries are disappearing to a great extent. The foreign, QE, you know, old people's money tied up in Social Security is declining now. So there's some real reasons I can see from a fundamental reason why your technical work on the T-bonds make a lot of sense. Well, we are out of time, Michael. Thanks so much for being with us again. Always a pleasure to have you. You're very reassuring. You calm my nerves. I don't even need a psychiatrist now. I've got Michael Oliver. Thanks, Michael.
Well, thank you,
and look to it again sometime.
Talk to you later.
Well, next week, hopefully. All right. All right, folks. Well, don't go away. We're going to be right back with Peter Talman, President and CEO of Klondike Gold Corp. Really some interesting developments there with that company. They've seems as though the Mother Nature's puzzle is being unraveled to a great extent by Peter Talman and other geologists that work with him. So don't go away. We'll be right back with Peter Talman.
Think you've seen everything there is to see in online television? Let us surprise you. Visit voiceamerica.tv today for sports, health, business, and more on demand 24/7.
Horan Resources is a Canadian-based gold exploration company focused on the company's flagship Committee Bay project, located in northern Canada, one of the best mining jurisdictions in the world. The company's current resource, outlined by drilling thus far, stands at 1.1 million ounces of gold at over 8 grams per ton. Horan is operated by the same team that founded Asanko Gold, which is constructing a major gold mine in West Africa, and Caden Resources, which was recently purchased in November for over $200 million.
New Range Gold Corp is a Canadian junior explorer focused on its recently acquired flagship Pamlico Gold Project, located in Nevada, one of the best mining jurisdictions in the world. Known as one of Nevada's highest grade gold districts, Pamlico was held by private interests for most of its history and remains largely unexplored. Drilling by New Range is already confirming the legendary grades of the district, with intercepts up to 341 grams gold per ton. Well-financed with no debt, New Range is unlocking shareholder value at Pamlico and trades under TSX symbol NRG.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.